readings from John chapter 19. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Later on in the chapter, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples who loved him standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciples, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and just as the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge on it and put it on a stalk of hyssop plant, and they lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Thank you, Bob. I think we've got another reading now. Roger, he just come to.
This is now from John chapter 20, the first 9 verses of John's Gospel. Okay, this is the empty tomb. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still don't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead."
Thank you. Thank you, Roger. He's going to read for us.
John chapter 20, verse 10 to 20. "Then the disciples went back to where they were staying, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she went, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.' And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Thank you, Elise. Lovely. That nice reading. So we're going to sing another hymn, and then John will come and bring a message, short message to us.
They laid the Lord Jesus in a brand new tomb. It belonged to a man called Joseph. He came from the town of Arimathea. So often we speak of him as Joseph of Arimathea. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, a politician, as well as a religious man. He would be well known in Jewish society, and he was, we are told, a very wealthy man. He supported Jesus, but he did this in secret. He didn't want anyone to know that he had followed Jesus. His wealth allowed him early in his life to buy some ground where there would be a large rock that he could fashion a tomb from. And apparently this was not uncommon for wealthy people in those days. Joseph, after watching Jesus die, we see a change take place in his life. The cross and the words that Jesus spoke so impacted him that he was prepared to give up his privileges and status and no longer remain a secret disciple. We have many testimonies of people who, when confronted with the message of Calvary, have surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus. Tom Allen was a man who served in the military in the Second World War. He had agnostic views and doubts, but an experience he had at an Easter Day service in Reims would change his life forever. Amid the ruins and devastation of war, an African American stood up and sung, "Were you there when they crucified the Lord?" As the cross was presented to Tom Allen, in a very unexpected way, he surrendered his life to the Lord, and it turned his life around. He experienced conversion, and Tom Allen's life and his future was set never to change. There are others that found the cross such a powerful symbol of God's love. And they could, in the words of the hymn that we sang at the first service, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour content on all my pride." That hymn could have been written for Joseph of Arimathea. He fully understood the cost of nailing his colours to the mast and openly confessing that he was a disciple of Jesus. Yet despite all of that, he went to Pilate, and we read that he begged for the body of Jesus, and he took the body of Jesus and he placed it in his tomb. For centuries, it has been believed that the site of the tomb was in a church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But more recently, archaeologists have concluded that possibly the best place where Joseph's tomb would have been was in what is now called the Garden Tomb, just located outside the city walls. While the tomb can be of interest to many, the most important thing to know is that it was empty. not so much where it was, but that it was empty. You see, as we have been reading this morning, as we've sang these hymns and listened to the children, we can say with confidence this morning that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. In front of the tomb, there was a big stone. And Matthew, in writing his gospel, tells us that that stone had been removed by an angel. It was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but rather to let people look in to see that the tomb was empty. And the first to arrive, as we read together this morning, were women. And they were concerned, understandably. In fact, it says that they were frightened. But on the stone sat an angel. And he said to these ladies, "Don't be afraid. Jesus has risen. Come and see the place where the body was laid." And just as the angel said, when they looked into the tomb, there was no body. Jesus had risen. The women were frightened, but at the same time, they were full of joy and gladly did as the angel instructed them to do, which was to go and to tell the disciples that the Lord had risen. Shortly after that, the Lord appeared to the 11 disciples at different times, and then to around about 500 people. And one of the greatest proofs of the resurrection is that these people who Jesus appeared to shared that message with others in a way that only eyewitnesses could do. It was their encounter with the risen Lord Jesus that gave them the courage to go out and to share and spread the gospel. Peter the apostle, in his first sermon, said these words, "God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are witnesses to this." And when he spoke with such power and authority, we read that on that day, 3,000 people believed and were baptized. I was at People's Cemetery on Friday, and I was again reminded how important it is to know where we are going when the time comes for us to leave this world. One stone said, "Gone forever, but still remembered." While another said, "A life fully lived, now sadly ended." Some stones had scripture on them. The headstone that I was looking for said these words, "Absent from the body, but present with the Lord." And although a cemetery reminds us that we will all one day leave this world, the Bible gives answers and allows us to determine where that future might be. The message of the gospel is that that tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea was only a temporary place for the Lord Jesus. Because on the third day, he rose again, the tomb was vacated. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose, a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live again." A promise given to us by Jesus himself. And he was able to give that promise because he himself rose from the dead. Before he went to the cross, Jesus said to his followers that he was going to prepare a place for them, that where he would be, so they could be also. And because the tomb is empty, the promise of Jesus can be relied upon. The first person to enter heaven after Jesus died on the cross was a crook. The man who hung beside him on the cross. Jesus said to him, when he showed his faith in him, that today he would be with him in paradise. That Jesus would take him to be with him in heaven. And so it is that he says to us this morning, believe in me, trust in me, follow me, and your place will be for you too in heaven. And so here is the question. Have you made the promise of Easter your promise? Can each one of us this morning say, Jesus, I believe, be my Saviour, and give to me the gift that only you can give, the gift of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.